Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Scoutcast brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. As always, you're joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we are also joined by the ever-reliable Rich. How's it going, Rich?
Very well. And yeah, at least I'm reliable.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I'm assuming this is all working, because on YouTube it's completely messing up and I can't actually see whether we're live. So fingers crossed we're live. Have a quick look for me. But yeah, we're without Seb this week, which is a bit of a shame. I mean, it's always the same when you've got little kids. Every now and again, they get ill, and obviously you've got to be there with them. So, but Rich, you don't have kids, so you're just here every week with us, aren't you?
Exactly. It's like, it's perfect. It's absolute perfection. Although, exactly. I mean, it would have been a good excuse to watch the rest of this game, because, I mean, it's 4-0 at the moment.
Oh, I know. So it is, we're recording this with the last game that's going on at the moment in the game week, and that is Arsenal Sheffield United at the moment are 4-0 up. So Arsenal are 4-0 up and only 30 minutes have gone. So this could be ridiculous. And unfortunately, I've got Saka non-captain who's going to hurt me whenever he does anything. And I've only got Saliba. So I don't really know what I want tonight apart from maybe a Saliba goal. And that's the only thing that's really going to help me. And it could happen, but knowing my luck, it's going to be another Gabriel goal, isn't it? Rich, you've got three playing tonight though, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got Saka, non-captain, Saliba and Gabriel. I think the problem we got here is Sheffield United are so bad, I don't even think there's going to be a corner because they're just going to score.
They'll have to put a tackle in or a save. I feel like this is going to be one of those NFL games where, you know, it's such a rout that they pull the quarterback, you know, when they do those. And it's like, we're just, you know, it's a bit of mercy now. I feel like that could happen after like 60 minutes. Sheffield United made a sub after 15 minutes. Like, the game was gone.
Ollie Norwood went off. Yeah.
Yeah. Reading.
Reading legend. He's not a legend.
Tonight, we have got, for a Monday night, we've got quite a jam-packed evening. We're going to be looking at our points. We're going to be looking at Bournemouth and Luton players because they both double in game week 28. Bournemouth, in particular, with gorgeous fixtures. So they play Sheffield United and Luton both at home. Luton play Crystal Palace and Bournemouth away from home. So we're going to be looking at those two players. We're also going to be looking a little bit at defenders because Flappy and I were talking the other day saying that the midfielders and the strikers kind of pick themselves a little bit at the moment, whereas the defenders seems to have been an absolute nightmare in terms of who to own this year and the performance we're getting out of them. So we're going to look at a little bit at XGC over the season and XGC over the last six. Then we've got over and under back. Yes, that's right. We've got over and under back just for the double game week. So I'm looking forward to that. We've got the community team and we've also got our bus teams. And I will say this now and make sure you listen till we get onto our bus teams because I have pressed the wild card button. I have pressed it. Rich has already shaken his head. People in the chat have left. Honestly, people in the chat are leaving quicker than Sheffield United fans. This is ridiculous. So wait till the end. I have pressed the wildcard button and you'll see what my team is looking like. I'll explain more a little bit later, but let's have a look at
you. You're a trendsetter. I mean, I didn't see anyone click the button, then you did it. And then I've seen at least six other people now do it.
I've said that for years, mate. Honestly, I've said it for years that I'm a trendsetter. I'm such a trendy 30-year-old. Right, let's have a look at some points.
I thought you were
40. In the 30s. Let's have a look at some points then. So I was on 73 points, which I was absolutely ecstatic about, minus four because I took a hit, and I'll explain the hit in a minute, and I wasn't very happy about the hit, to be perfectly honest. But I had Dubravka in goal. He got me seven. Loved that, although I had Areola on my bench with 13. Saliba, who's playing now, Connor Bradley, who I play, got me 8 points. Again, very happy about that. Taylor got me one, who actually outscored Estupiñán, who when I saw was starting, I was a little bit annoyed about, but obviously they lost 3-0 to Fulham. Foden got me 15. Gordon, who at home is just ridiculous, has got 8 points. Son with seven, kind of a last-minute goal there for Son, getting me seven. Saka, who's playing tonight, but non-captain, so everything he does hurts me because he's about 110% EO at my rank. Watkins with 13, Haaland with 12 as my captain, and Solanke with 2. So I already did, I got Son. So I did Hwang to Son, and I was going to just leave it at that. And then we got, because I was going to play Darwin, I had Darwin, and I thought, right, to be honest, I was quite happy to play him. And then I thought, God, what do I do if we actually do get a leak that he's benched? And of course, it was all the games were at 3 o'clock, and at about 1:15, we found out he was definitely benched. And I panicked for the first time in ages. I panicked and I did the hit and I did Darwin to Solanke. And it's ended up costing me 7 points because Darwin came on and scored the winner. And Solanke obviously blanked against Burnley, which was a massive shame. So it cost me 7 points in the end, which I was absolutely annoyed about, especially considering I've now wildcarded. So I could have just got Solanke this week anyway. So yeah, that was the one move where I panicked. But apart from that, the team did really well. I mean, 7 points, 8 points, 8 points, 7 points, 15, 13, like... any other week, I'd be quite happy with that.
But the only thing I would say, actually, I hadn't thought about this before. I think I'd have been quite stubborn because obviously one of the benefits of doing the hit, you know, Darwin to Solanke was you knew you were going to get Solanke.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
But you can't even use that to justify it now. It's just like a clean 7-point loss. Not to make you feel bad or anything.
Oh, no. I've been feeling bad since this happened. Don't you worry. I literally did it and thought, oh, that was silly, because I did have in the back of my head that I might wildcard. And as soon as I did it, you know, when you do something, you just think, actually, doing it has not made me feel any better. So that was a bad decision. I needed to kind of step back a little bit, if that makes sense. But when you've got 10 minutes, obviously, you rush that little bit more. And it was just a panic move. But so that on another day, Solanke could have got, you know, been involved in the two goals against Burnley and it would have all been OK. But yeah. So
that,
73.
That was one where ignorance would have been bliss there for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. So is what it is. But 73 points, minus four, so I'm on 69 with my Arsenal boys to play, up to 59k from 74k. So, you know, greens are green, and hopefully I'll have some green arrows coming up in the next couple of weeks, but we'll see. Under your points then, Flappy, talk us through yours.
Yeah, so I'm on 66 before this game. I think it's saying 72 now. I'm trying to remember what move I even did. Before I do that, I've got Dubravka in goal, so obviously got the clean sheet, right? Because I went purely on clean sheet odds. But Areola obviously saved the penalty.
Yeah.
Gabriel and Saliba playing right now. So, I mean, I can't see a way they even get bonus points now when it's 4-0 after, half an hour. Doughty, little bit of redemption there because he did the usual thing. They let in two early goals. They look awful in the first half.
Yeah, they did.
I was like, oh, here we go again. Somehow he's managed to pull 5 points out. So that was nice. Saka's obviously playing right now. Son, he left it late. No bonus. That was it. I bought in Son for Wang.
Yes. Yeah.
As did most people. Palmer with 5 points. Foden, 15. I mean, to be fair, the Wang thing was quite lucky because my plan would have been Foden to Son this week.
Yeah.
So maybe Wang's actually paid out. Is it 5-0 now?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Solanke,
my only blank so far. I did a hit for Alvarez, actually, didn't I, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Alvarez hasn't started a game and has outscored Solanke. Across those two, Watkins 13 and the Haaland captain, and that was pure fear. I know this time last week I had Saka captain, but the second you see Haaland score 5 goals midweek, I was like, do not ruin your season over this.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's
literally it.
Yeah, and so you're on, I mean, obviously Arsenal are playing now, but you're on 66 and you've got those through to play. So you're hoping for I'm assuming you're hoping for a green with double defence. Imagine a Sheffield United consolation goal would be a little bit annoying.
I mean, it's Rice who scored, wasn't it? It was, yeah. It was a very, it's a very, very small green. I don't know how Saka's going to play into this. It's going to be borderline grey arrow. Maybe a small green if Arsenal keep a clean sheet. And if they stay on till 60 minutes. Because
that could
be a worry, actually.
You'd hope that the centre-backs would, though, wouldn't you? Right, let's have a look then. So we're going into game week 28 now. And Bournemouth and Luton both have a double. I said it at the beginning, but I'll say it again just in case. So Bournemouth play Luton and Sheffield United both at home. And we're obviously seeing here that Sheffield United are getting absolutely demolished by Arsenal. And Luton have Crystal Palace and Bournemouth both away. Now, a lot of people are taking hits for Bournemouth and Luton players. Luton, by the way, play in game week 29, whereas Bournemouth don't. So they are good investments moving forwards. But we do want to just have a look at their players in terms of who do you pick from these two teams? Because there are some obvious picks and there are some not so obvious picks. So we've got a little table here about Bournemouth. So this is ranked in terms of their expected goal of involvement this season. Now, for most people, when they're thinking about Bournemouth, this is probably obvious, but the gap between Solanke and who is in second, there is a chasm, basically. So Solanke is on 15.59, and then it's Tavernier on 7.15. And as I just go down this table, I won't go too far, but as I just go down this table, it's got Solanke, then Tavernier, then Christie, then Cliver, then Semenyo, then Billing, who isn't playing at the moment, Senesi, who is now injured and most likely won't play in the double game week, Sinisterra, Brooks, who isn't even there at the moment. So it doesn't look great the further down you go. And then you've also got people like Kirkes and Zabanyi, who are barely getting, got one XGI for the whole season. So Solanke is a no-brainer, Rich. But as we're looking down this table, if you had to pick a second and third Bournemouth asset, who would they be?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because, I mean, I was actually even considering earlier in the week, I was considering could Christie be one just because he plays 90 minutes every week.
Yeah.
He got subbed at halftime. And I don't think that was a great pick anyway.
Yeah.
it could well be the defenders. I mean, like you said, there's that chasm after Solanke. And I mean, you'll see it as well when we look at the Luton stats, unsurprisingly. But just a nice reminder why everyone's going to be captaining Solanke.
Yeah.
I think it would be, I mean, the goalkeeper in a double game week, that's always pretty safe way to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
So probably Neto would be the second one. And then it's probably a defender. And I think there's only one defender everyone's looking at now, unless Senesi makes a miraculous recovery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, because I was looking at this and I think favourites for a clean sheet next week were Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then Bournemouth are like second and third, as in they're two, you know, I think they're about 35% chance for clean.
Mm.
But they are very good defensive fixtures, very good at home as well. So I think it's the defenders.
Yeah. And I mean, we've mentioned Zabanyi already. Zabanyi has played every minute this season and he started every game. I think he's somebody that, if you want somebody that you know is going to play for you, because their fixtures are nice. Bournemouth's fixtures are nice for a little while now. So, yes, they've got the double and they blank in game week 29. But then they've got Everton at home, Crystal Palace at home and Luton away. So the fixtures are quite nice. If you needed to play someone like Zabanyi, I think that's absolutely fine. Kirkes is somebody that I've always quite liked in terms of, you know, he's got a little bit more upside than Zabanyi. But I do think if you were free hitting in, say, game week 28, or you wanted somebody just for this game week, I think Kirkes is good because you almost guaranteed he's going to play those two games with Senesi out, you know, Mepham or Kelly, or whoever it is, probably comes in a central defence and Kirkes plays those games. But after that, I don't think I'd be relying on Kirkes, whereas I think Zabanyi is just going to play, you know, now until the end of the season, as long as there isn't any injury. So I think Zabanyi is kind of a nail pick, isn't he?
I think so. I think, looking at, if you can look at obviously per 90 stats as well, because this is all from the members area. So this is just purely, you know, across the season, they're combined. So obviously some players have played more minutes, but there's not much like attacking upside. If you go Kirkes over Zabanyi, they're both pretty poor, to be honest. So I'd rather go for the safe minutes, especially if you're free hitting in 29.
Yeah.
It's probably part of your plan there is if you've got like two Arsenal defenders, you want to play that Bournemouth defender in 30 as well. Mm-hmm. When City play Arsenal. So I think just go safe, go boring. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much, it sounds like Edison, but it's almost six or two.
Yeah.
Like, so you kind of get that vibe, don't you?
So we're thinking Neto, Zabanyi, Solanke. I mean, these midfielders as well, if you have a look at these, so you've got Tavernier, Christie, Cliver, Semenyo, Semenyo isn't even a midfielder on the game, is he? He's a forward, but obviously he's probably one of the better picks. It's just a shame he is a forward. Sinisterra, who could play. I'm struggling to get excited about any of those midfielders. And it's not even looking at those midfielders thinking, you know, oh, you have them for the double game week. You know, if they do something great, you're not really going to be able to rely on them moving forward either if you have to keep them in your team. So if you do go for them, it's going to be a very short-term punt. But have you got a favourite out of all those mids? Have you got anybody you think, actually, across the double game week, I think they could do okay?
I think if you happen to think about it too much, it kind of shows you why they're not great picks. Yeah. But I mean, Tavernier seems to be the standout. I mean, he's obviously second in this table. He's the one most people are talking about. You know, can he start both games? Because I saw a great thread by FPL Schofield. Where he basically mentioned, because obviously they've not got the game after the double now. They haven't got the FA Cup game. So there could be more rest time.
Yeah.
But he still doesn't seem like a 90-minute man. So I think Tavernier would be the one I'd go for. But
yeah,
that would only be, you know, gun against the head.
Yeah. And it's funny. Like, I think I was saying to you in a chat saying that Tavernier is one of those players we think will probably get both games. But he hasn't played well recently. And fans are kind of getting on him a bit. But he's got home games against Sheffield United and Luton. So if he's ever going to turn it around, it's going to be in those games, isn't it?
I mean, you've seen a lot more Bournemouth than I have, and probably a lot more Bournemouth than your most non-Bournemouth fans. So, I mean, last time I was actually looking at their midfielders was so long ago. I think Utara was one I was looking at. So that must have been
mine. Yeah, and actually, he's a threat to Kirkes now, which is a bit mental. But, I mean, Kluivert's the one that's going to be on a few people's lips as well, because obviously he scored this week. I think in that thread that I saw that Schofield did, I think he literally goes off 70 minutes every week, pretty much. So his X minutes is pretty poor, but he did score this weekend. He's only 4.6. Like, if you were to take a punt on someone like that, at least they're cheap.
It's why I wondered about Christie, though, just because I was hoping he'd get 90 minutes in both. Yeah. And, you know, it was just an idea. Obviously, Lewis Cook, he got two assists this week. But
yeah.
I mean, you look across, you know, obviously he plays every game and he's, 2.17 XGI.
Yeah.
Someone like Christie, I mean, he's got double the attacking threat. Admittedly, not a great attacking threat, but the third best Bournemouth player.
I think Lewis Cook's XA from this weekend, even though he got two assists, was like 0.04 or something.
Well, I'm not surprised because they were both goals, weren't they? Where the goal scorer did everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It was not quite as bad as Son and Vertonghen that time?
Yeah, the famous one. Yeah.
Yeah. But so what we're saying then, because this is very interesting for me, because obviously I've got to pick three Bournemouth, we're going Neto, Zabani, Solanke as our three.
I think so, but it is very, very boring.
Yeah.
I think Tavernier could be the one if you want to live a little.
I don't think it's boring considering, like, if you were to pick all three of those, I think that's good. But I think, I know what you mean. Like, it's the goalkeeper, the central defender, and the going to be almost 200% EO striker.
It's kind of one of those ones where, yeah, if you look for points at the end of the game week, you'll be like, oh, that's done well. But for actually watching the game, it's not fun. And it's a shame that Semenyo's a striker as well, because obviously that's really competitive at the moment.
Yeah.
I think regardless of what chip strategy you're on, you're going to struggle to justify Semenyo coming in.
I think so. Yeah, it's really, really hard to pick Semenyo, I think. It's such a shame he is a striker. Next year, he could be a midfielder. It'd be interesting, but we'll see what happens.
And like, not to jump too far ahead to Luton, but obviously Morris is, I mean, he's only a little bit more. Semenyo's cheap, but so is Morris. Yeah. And then you're getting the Pens.
Lovely little segue from Rich there onto the Luton players. So we've got exactly the same from Luton here. And interestingly, we've got way more XGI expected goal involvement over the season from some of their players than we do from the Bournemouth players. It's just that Bournemouth obviously have that player that's almost 16 XGI over the season, whereas Luton really don't. So for Luton, top of the pile here is Morris. Remember, this does include penalties as well, which is big for Morris too. So Morris is on almost 9 XGI. Then there's Ogbene, then Adebayo, then Barkley, Doughty, Brown, Townsend, Chong, and then it just gets worse as you go down, basically. So when you're thinking about Luton players, obviously they've got the double this week and they play in the blank as well. They have shown signs that they've got players that can be good FPL assets. If you were to pick two or three of these, who would be your top three players, Rich?
I mean, these ones are a lot tougher, aren't they? Because obviously Morris is obviously the standout because penalty taker. Ogbene, I mean, he's been playing wing back.
Mm.
believe, and he's their second best according to this. Now, obviously, we could have done a table, but per 90 as well. So yeah, there's different ways we could have looked at this. Adebayo, we haven't got an update, but he was out at the weekend. So I think he would have been very popular. Yeah. And then you've got Barkley. I mean, Barkley's obviously, he has missed a few games here and there. You know, at the start of the season, he wasn't a regular.
Mm.
But he's still not putting up. I mean, it's Christie numbers, basically, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Is that offensive? I mean,
hang on. Christie,
he's played less minutes, yes.
I was going to say, he's played less minutes, hasn't he?
Played less minutes, but it is Christie. It's not standout. It's standout numbers. I mean, when you look at it, a lot of people are talking about Barkley.
Yeah.
But, I mean, his numbers are quite similar to Doughty.
Well, who's the person we always go to when we ask about Luton?
We go to Bricky.
We always go to Bricky. And
Bricky
said,
told us not to get... Oh, actually, no, it wasn't Doughty. Who went out on loan? Who was playing before Doughty?
Well, Bricky said that Barkley is the best player he's ever seen playing down the Kenny.
Yeah, but he's a Luton fan, of course. But I'm not surprised.
But he did say that he's not good for FPL.
Okay, I didn't realize he said that.
Yeah, but
I mean, the numbers do kind of support that. But obviously, it is a double, so
that's the thing. If it's a double game week against Bournemouth and Crystal Palace, and you had to pick three Luton, I think Morris picks himself, Doughty picks himself. I think those two are locks. It's who your third one is, and I think if you are going for three, it's hard at the moment because obviously I'm thinking wildcard, so I'm thinking you can pick whoever you want, you know, however many you want. I think Barkley's fine, and the fact is, you know, Barclays is 5 million. Like, it's so ridiculously cheap. And you've got to go cheap because a lot of us are wanting to pick, you know, Son, Haaland and Saka and Salah soon or whatever it is. So you need these cheap midfielders.
I mean, looking actually, what's funny about that, you said he's 5 million, like it's a good thing. Looking at all these players, the premium player in this batch is 5.1.
I know.
Morris.
God, so some of these players are 3.9 million. Yeah, what are we doing? No, it's... I think Morris and Doughty pick themselves, and I think Doughty for a defender, when you think he's 4.75 XGI, is pretty good. And that kind of long ball into the far post that Morris seems to always be on the end of, if you own both of them, that seems quite nice. But with Barkley there as well, I think Barkley's a good shout for the double and then the blank. And if you're not free hitting in 29, I don't think it's that bad to have one or two Luton players personally.
No, I don't think it is either. I mean, I think it's just you're comparing them to each other. I mean, Barkley's probably the best midfield pick. I mean, he is. I mean, you look at the rest of them, and I'd say that quite comfortably.
Yeah.
But I think your expectations have to be, I wouldn't have them sky high. Like, he's the best midfielder. He's probably, you know, a better option than having, I mean, Foden's away at Liverpool this week. You know, I'd probably rather have Barkley than Foden, you know, in isolation over 1 week. Which sounds crazy, but that's partly volume of fixtures. Well, purely volume of fixtures.
Yeah. So I've got some hypothetical questions for you here, then. All right.
Okay.
So if you were free hitting in 29, yeah.
Yep.
Would you be prioritising Bournemouth or Luton players this week?
Oh, right. These are like easy. This is all I've been thinking about all week. I mean, free hit 29, which is what I'm looking at. Yeah, Bournemouth all the way.
Bournemouth.
Because you get the benefit in 30, they've got Everton at home.
So if you were not free hitting in 29, would you prioritise Bournemouth or Luton players this week?
You sound like you're talking to your kids at school. Luton.
No, I'm talking to all our lovely viewers. So you would prioritise Luton then over Bournemouth. I'm assuming Solanke would still be the top priority though if you don't own him.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, 100%. You'd want Solanke. I mean, I don't think anyone's not looking at doing it. I just think the numbers we've shown here have just supported that.
Yeah.
You know, he is top tier level.
Yeah, nice. Okay, no, that's fine. That's the questions I have for you, really.
That is the key thing, though, isn't it? You know, if you are free hitting in 29, you're probably going to be targeting the Bournemouth players.
Yeah.
And then if you're not free hitting, you're going to target the Luton players because you get the blank as well. But then you probably are looking at wildcarding quite soon after.
So if you were wildcarding in game week 30... How crazy is it to do Haaland to Morris?
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So Haaland's got Liverpool, and then he's got a blank, and then you wild card. Whereas Morris has got a double game week and plays in the blank. So you're getting three fixtures for one.
There is sense to it. There's logic to it.
You don't want to say it, do you? Like, oh.
Because I've obviously been looking between two strategies. And I think by the time you start getting to hits to do it, I'm less sure. Like, because we had a similar situation in, well, it wasn't that similar, but I think it was game week 8 when Luton doubled and then Haaland had a game. And I had Morris, but I still captained Haaland.
Morris outscored him though, didn't he?
He did outscore him, but a lot of people didn't even bother with Morris. And so I just feel like, yeah, I get your game in the blank, but could it wait a week? I think that's what I'm thinking in my head. And I know that's very, very boring because it is it's a double game week.
I think I'd do it. I think I would. Oh, no, I don't think I would but for
I think
a hit.
That, I think yeah, that's I think where, if it's for free, then. I think it's pretty obvious. I think it's when you get to a hit, I think then it becomes really, really murky.
So how many hits do you take then? How many hits do you take this week for Bournemouth and Luton players? Because I remember I spoke to you not that long ago and you were like, I want to go all in on it again. I want to go all in. So is that -4, -8? What do you do?
I mean, it's kind of like we talked about for the Liverpool double though, isn't it? Like you plan ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I don't get the whole wait until you get to this game week and then like, oh, I haven't got any doublers. I'll do a -12. I think that's like the problem was you should have been looking ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't go crazy. I definitely want Solanke. Solanke to have as captain, even though you may want him to blank after doing it. I think that's obvious, absolute no-brainer for a hit or not.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's the one. And then it's just whether it all depends on strategy. I mean, like we said, getting a keeper never hurts. But then Areola's got Burnley at home.
Yeah, true. It's an interesting one. The thing is, I suppose, everybody went in on Liverpool and City for their double and were bitterly disappointed with most of them. Now it's Bournemouth and Luton. And the argument I'm hearing is, well, Liverpool and City weren't very good. Bournemouth and Luton are worse players. Why are we buying players from bad teams? But Luton and Bournemouth, they've got players that have shown flashes this year. I don't think you have to take this in isolation and think, actually, in a double game week against really poor teams, why wouldn't you go for it?
I was looking yesterday at not even underlying data. I was just looking at the last time Luton didn't score. And I should have prepared this, but I feel like it was Man United, like, was the last time that they didn't score back in, like, November or something.
Elite team, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they struggled. But, yeah, but obviously back in November, tough place to go at Old Trafford. But, no, seriously, they do score goals. I mean, they looked absolutely woeful against, first half against Villa. The second half, they looked like a completely different team.
So, last question then for you before we move off Bournemouth and Luton. Bournemouth and Luton is triple captainship. If you still had your triple captainship, would it be all over Solanke or would you be looking at 34 and 37 for the other doubles?
Do you remember when we talked about should we triple captain Haaland? And one of the things we hypothesized, I don't even know if that fits here, about was what if Solanke gets injured? Who would you triple captain?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, it sounds like Solanke's going to be fine and I'm definitely going to captain him. But there is that, there is a chance that he gets like a little knock and gets managed or, at halftime he's like, oh, my knee hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you have to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
If you've got other chips to use as well, I think just go for it. And if you get unlucky, you get unlucky.
I don't know. In 34 and 37, you're not going to get better fixtures than Sheffield United and Luton at home. I don't think you are.
That's why it's annoying. There's no obvious midfielder for Bournemouth. Because it's kind of like it's the perfect double, but they just haven't got the perfect assets. Because they haven't got the perfect attacking defender.
It's Semenyo. If Semenyo was a midfielder, I think everybody would be all over him.
Yep. But,
and then like you think Bournemouth assets in the past, like someone like Charlie Daniels would have been absolute gold, wouldn't he, in a double game week?
Charlie Daniels.
Yeah,
who's that Rico one?
Oh, no, don't mention Rico again.
Yeah, the legend.
You love Rico, yeah. but yeah, no, it's a shame, unfortunately. But I do think, so going back to this Luton one then, so Morris, Barkley and Doughty is probably the three we're saying are the top assets, are we?
Yeah, I mean, you could chuck in the keeper.
Yeah, Kaminsky. Kaminsky as well obviously plays in the blank. So if you're not free hitting, getting Kaminsky isn't the worst idea.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, I guess that actually there could be people out there because if you haven't got Areola, I know most people seem to have Areola, Dubravka kind of stuff. But yeah, if you need one for the blank and want them to be in the double.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, Kaminsky could be actually perfect there. Then it might be your number one priority for Luton.
Yeah, exactly. Right, lovely stuff. Let's move on to your one that you sent me, which was the XGC over the season. So these are the best defences so far this season based on how much XG they've conceded over the entire season. We do also have a last six to show you as well, because there's a bit of difference, actually. Arsenal are clear top. I mean, it's ridiculous how good Arsenal's defence has been this season. Gabriel will go off at half-time, mate. You'll be fine. It's ridiculous how good they are. Yeah. So they've only conceded 18.52 XGC this season, which is just... I think that's one of the best we've seen ever. So they are ridiculous. Man City are next. Seven more, so 25.11. And then Liverpool are 33.21. So a massive difference there. Then Everton, Brighton, Aston Villa. So this is basically going down in terms of the best defences. Then Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, Brentford, Bournemouth, Spurs, Wolves, Man United, Fulham, Newcastle, Burnley, West Ham. And then who are the bottom two? Sheffield United and Luton. And Sheffield United are about to probably be bottom.
Yeah, I think they're about to get relegated from
Luton
are going up to 19th.
So Bournemouth have the two worst defences over the entire season coming up now. And we're going to be going for double defence and Solanke, who's going to be 200% owned.
Yeah, but I think that's more just because, like we said, there's not an attacking defender. There's not a clear midfielder. I mean, I think they're probably one of the midfielders will do well.
Yeah.
But I think it is literally like throwing a dart. And Tavernier's obviously got the best underlying data based on that. So maybe he's the educated guess.
So say for me, so I'm wildcard and all, for other people that think about making moves this week and they haven't got double Arsenal defence yet, because I've said this to you so many times where I haven't jumped on double Arsenal defence because I've got tempted by other assets. I'm doing it again. I'm not going to have double Arsenal defence and I'm wildcarding. Surely that's a mistake from me.
Yes, but what's funny is we do this like every week almost.
I know.
And like, honestly, it was like 10, 12 weeks ago we did this table and we're like, oh, Arsenal are really good defensively.
I know.
And it just seems like you've been unlucky in some ways because, you know, stuff like Trent's popped up. Like, so you've gone Trent over Gabriel, and then there'd be a double. So you'd be like, oh, I'll go Bradley over Gabriel.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
I mean, it hasn't cost you that many, apart from his brace that got downgraded to a goal and assist.
Cheers.
But genuinely. And I think it's actually a headache, which we'll get to later on, for people like me who've got double Arsenal. Because, you know, I benched Saliba the other week and he scored. Like, they're very hard to bench. And when you've got doubles as well, which way do you go?
And actually, they obviously blank in 29. And then in game week 30, they play City. And it's actually quite tough looking at... Because from game week 31 onwards, yeah, it looks fine. They've got some nice home fixtures. But, you know, those next 2 weeks, it's like, well, I know they've got Brentford this week, then a blank, then Man City away. So jumping on double Arsenal defence now, I think maybe is not the right time.
Maybe not. And I mean, we've seen a few of these big scores now, haven't we, from Arsenal? So maybe there would be an argument you might look at an attacker down the line, as in to pair with Saka.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
But,
I mean, this is why I actually sent a tweet earlier about I wish we could have more than three players from a team. And it wasn't because of the double. It was because of Arsenal.
Yeah, I know. Just have Arsenal everywhere.
Yeah, because you're exposed either way. If you only have Saka, you basically have no attack because everyone's got Saka. And then if you only have one defender, you want them to concede.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, the reason why we've got the XGC last six, which is what I've just put up on the screen as well, and I will run through it, is because there are some differences there. So Arsenal and City are around 2.3. So that's lovely from them from the last six.
These are home fixtures, by the way.
All of them are home, are they?
So the last one was... all teams just over the season.
Yeah.
I did this. This was the last six home games.
And
the reason I did this was just to, I mean, it wasn't to skew the results, but it was just interesting that Bournemouth at home, only over the last six,
I see,
are obviously pretty good.
Yeah. So Bournemouth are fifth in this table. So in the last six home games, they've only conceded four XGC, which, as Rich has just said, Bournemouth do have two home games against two of the worst teams in the league up next. So Bournemouth defence doesn't look too bad when you're looking at this. Some interesting ones here, though. Like, for instance, Brighton, you wouldn't have said would be, yeah, what are they, sixth in this table at the moment. Newcastle, comfortably bottom as well. So there's some interesting ones here. If I go down the list, so it's Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, Crystal Palace in fourth, Bournemouth, Brighton, Nottingham Forest, Chelsea, Everton, Spurs, Man United, Burnley. Man United only just seeing out Burnley there. Then Wolves, Fulham, Luton, Brentford, Sheffield United, West Ham, Aston Villa and Newcastle. Again, Luton and Sheffield United so far down this table. Jumping on these Bournemouth assets just makes so much sense to me.
Just on Bournemouth as well, because obviously I think a lot of people were talking about their defence because obviously they conceded
Saka off at halftime.
Is he actually?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Wow.
I actually feel bad for owners now.
I don't. They've already beaten Haaland.
They're only gaining.
Give us mercy.
On us.
Yeah. Carry on.
That's brutal, mate. okay. So, obviously Bournemouth in the last game, they looked awful against Burnley.
Yeah.
Burnley put up like 1.5 XG as well. But these Bournemouth stats are like the last six actually has been quite tough. As in they've had like City, there's Liverpool, there's Villa in there.
Yeah.
Like these weren't, you know, it's not just skewed because of fixtures, but it's just interesting. I think it highlights why the bookies have got them. I mean, I'm not saying they're an elite defence, but when you've got fixtures like that, even though we've already said Luton always score, unless it's against Man United, there's definitely merit in attacking the defenders.
Yeah, I agree. Right, should we do some over and unders? So this is us.
Who's gone off?
Yep. So and a lot of Sheffield United subs. So let's have a little bit of a look at some overs and unders. We haven't done this for a little while, and this is just for the double game week. So Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Luton at home. Luton have Crystal Palace and Bournemouth away. So up first is Solanke, 12.5 points. What do you think? Sheffield United, Luton at home on penalties. Blanked quite a lot recently, but what do you think? 12.5 points.
I mean, with this game on, I have to go over.
Yeah, you think so, wouldn't you?
I mean, it's two goals.
I mean, yeah. A goal and assist, and that'll probably do it with a bonus.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was just thinking two goals in one game and bonus is 13.
So you're going over?
Yeah, going over there.
Lovely. Next up. Oh, my God. I don't actually know who that is.
Do you know what? Who is it?
It's the Luton player. It's Barkley. We got Morris and we got... oh, my God. I feel really bad now. Go on to the next one. We got Morris at 7.5.
Is that Kirkez or...?
No, it's a Luton player, the second one. I'll think of it in a minute. I can send the list.
Morris,
it's Doughty.
Barkley.
It's Doughty, of course it is.
Oh,
so
I thought it was about Bournemouth.
No. So it's Doughty. Oh, no, hang on. Oh, I'm all over the
Doughty's
place here.
Doughty's the 6.5. Have we got the same thing on the screen?
It's because of the kits. It's Zabani is next. 8.5 I've got him as. Sorry, by the way. That is absolutely awful for me. Zabani, 8.5. What do you think? Over or under?
Well, we said he's a six or a two-pointer, which, I mean, it's not strictly true. But if he keeps a clean sheet and then just plays and doesn't concede more than one, it's eight, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Probably under, and I'm actually looking at buying him.
Oh, you're going under?
I don't think he's got many bonus.
I can't believe I was looking at it thinking it was the Luton kit, and I was looking at him thinking, who the hell is that? I forgot that was the Bournemouth away kit. Well,
sorry,
one
I'm
of
getting
the
distracted
away kits. You are. So we've got Solanke, then we got Zabani.
I can't believe you've done the photos and then forgot who they were.
It wasn't me that did the photos. Farrell did the photos for me. Brilliant. I've lost all track of thought now. Right, who's next? Who's next? You tell me.
Well, Doughty. Are we on? No. So the fourth one's Doughty, right?
Yeah, so Doughty.
And then Morris.
Yeah, and then Morris. And then Barkley. So Doughty, 6.5. What do you think? No, hang on. We're not on... Well, Jesus, this is awful. Right, Cliver, 7.5. Are you going over or under for Cliver?
I'm going to go over for Cliver.
You're going to go over for Cliver at 7.5. Doughty, 6.5. Let's just move off this as quickly as possible. Doughty, 6.5. What are you going
Why
for?
Why does Barkley look like that as well?
Oh, my God. 6.5, Crystal Palace away, Bournemouth away.
Are we on Doughty now?
Yes, we are.
Yes, okay. I'm going to go... I can't trust this guy. No, I mean, I meant Doughty, not you.
Yeah, no,
or
both.
Either.
Both.
Do you know what? I'm going to go over, and I don't believe it. I'm going to go over.
Over. Next, we got Morris, 8.5. What are you going with?
I just see, how can Andy not recognise the Bournemouth players? Because obviously you're one of their main fans. You're one of
it's the firm, kits. The kits have ruined me. When they sent it through, I was looking at the kits and thinking that was like a Luton away kit, because I don't think I've seen Bournemouth play in that kit before.
That's true. Usually
they have that yellow and blue one. Anyway, yes, yeah. So Morris, 8.5. What do you think? Over
8.5.
Under?
Palace and Bournemouth. Palace looked a bit better, didn't they? Do you know what? I'm going to go under.
Ooh, I think one pen. I fancy him to get a pen against Palace, maybe. I don't know.
Well, and Mitchell then gives it away.
Yeah, I know. And then Barkley, 7.5. What do you think?
I can't go over that photo of him.
Tangerine.
Do you know what? I'm going to go over. I know I said about what I said earlier, but I mean, it's quite a low total.
This is all over the place. This is all over the place. Right, should we just move off this?
You can tell seriously we take this over under.
Yeah, no. Right, let's move off this. Let's go to your bus team first. So just talk us through your bus team. By the way, I do apologise. I think Rich might have sent me this on his Nokia 3210, so I apologise, it's a little bit blurry.
I said, yo, what's up? Was it really blurry?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's lucky we've got the kits on and not their faces.
Talk us through your bus team. What are you thinking about doing, and have you got any money in the bank as well?
So my bus team, I'm just going to load mine up. Yeah, so I mean, I quite like my team actually, but I'm leaning towards, and I'm kind of in between still, but mainly leaning towards free hitting and 29. I still have enough players that I could play it through.
Yeah.
But if I free hit next week, I have to use a transfer. So I've got Ariola in goal, Gabriel and Saliba, and then Doughty's got a double. So I like all of those. Foden, away at Liverpool, and Haaland away at Liverpool. Then I've got Palmer home to Newcastle, Son away to Villa, Saka at home to Brentford, Watkins at home to Spurs, and then Solanke captain, obviously with the double. So I'm kind of torn here. Let's say I free hit 29, which is the most likely route.
Yeah.
I will do Ariola or Dubravka to Neto, one of those two.
Right.
I could then potentially do a hit, get rid of Estupiñán for a Bournemouth defender. But then I'd have to bench either Saliba at home to Brentford or Foden away to Liverpool. And I'll have done a hit. But I would definitely be bringing a Bournemouth defensive asset in, whether it's a goalkeeper or a defender.
Why would you get rid of Ariola, sorry?
So I bring in Neto, who's a doubler.
Yeah, but you said Dubravka or Ariola. Wouldn't you just get rid of Dubravka and keep Ariola? So you've still
I
got the option.
I need to learn more about the doubles here because there's a
So Newcastle do have that chance, but Pope could be back by then, couldn't he?
That's the thing. That was what Praz pointed out to me on Thursday. Because in my head, I was like, have Newcastle players for 34. But yeah, Pope could be back at the end of this month.
Yeah.
But then it might not work. There's also a scenario. I looked at Ben Crellin's chart and he said it was about 60. Well, I think it's 59% that Bournemouth could double in 34.
Yeah.
So if I then bring Neto in, I'm getting a double. I'm free hitting in 29. Mm-hmm. And then I've already got a goalkeeper lined up for 34.
Yeah. If you're free hitting in 29, that makes sense. Because obviously you won't need him then.
With that route, yeah. If I don't free hit in 29, say I need to play through it, I'll probably do two or three moves here. So it's -4 or -8. I'll be bringing in Luton and West Ham. I really don't like that route.
Music to my ears, that is.
I kind of actually am excited about being boring here. And I might just keep Haaland and Foden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you smiling? It's Saliba.
No.
I've never seen you smile so much.
I'm enjoying hearing all the hits you're going to take.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to bring in a Bournemouth or two.
You can't resist it. You're going to see all those doubles coming up on your screen. You're going to look at my wild card in a minute. You're going to be on a -12 before
the
end of
the night. How many hits do you think I've done this season?
What, in total?
Yeah.
You must be up to about -48, something like that.
I did a -4 and a -8. That's it.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I've done.
Oh, fair play.
I'm restrained now. I'm not like back in the day where I used to do -12s and 16s all the time.
I've seen you on a night out, give you a pint and you're not restrained anymore. So just very, very, very briefly then, tell us again, what are you thinking about doing this week? So if you had to say, right, this player to this player, who is it?
So the most likely scenario is I'll probably do Estupiñán to a Bournemouth defender.
Yeah.
The benefit of that would be if I free hit in 29, I come back in 30, I've got two Arsenal defenders away at City. I've got Doughty, who's got an awful fixture. I think that's against Spurs.
Yeah.
And I've got Pau Torres with Wolves. So Estupiñán to a Bournemouth defender means I've got at least Torres at home to Wolves. I've got, you know, Bournemouth are playable at home to Everton.
Yeah.
And then never bench Gabriel. So would sort me out a bit for 30.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I get that. And I think the keeper makes sense as well, because you're probably going to wildcard before 34 anyway, but at least you've got that option.
If I do this route, I'll probably try and wait till 35, 36.
I like it. Okay.
Wait, the bench headache though, actually, would you bench Foden or Saliba?
Foden. I think so.
That was my initial thought as well. Mm. It's one of those ones though, you'd feel so stupid.
Richarlison could be back for you as well.
Yeah, actually, a lot of what my chip strategy is relies on Richarlison, whether or not he's back. Because kind of in an ideal world, I free it in 29, then he just appears back in 30. Yeah.
Could happen. Yeah. Could happen. Right.
But yours is much more exciting.
Should we have a look at my wild card?
Yes.
Yes. Here it is then. So this...
Sorry, I was just one of those comments.
This is my wild card at the moment. So at the moment, I've got Neto in goal, who's got the double game week. Got Doughty in defence, double game week. Zabanyi in defence, double game week. Gabriel, Brentford at home. Barkley in midfield, double game week. Palmer with Newcastle at home. Son with Villa away. And then Saka with Brentford at home. Then I've got Morris, double game week. Solanke, double game week, who's my captain. And Watkins, Spurs at home. With Areola, Douglas Luiz, Reguilón and Udogi on the bench. So, what I've done at the moment... this is, by the way, with... 15.8 million in the bank. So it's with a lot of money in the bank, because ideally what I want to be able to do is get Salah and Haaland back in 30 and 31. And that's been a lot of my planning, is trying to make as much as possible, making it so I can get Salah back in 30 because he's got Brighton at home, and then getting Haaland back in 31, because in 30, obviously, he plays Arsenal. So I'm basically going without Haaland for 3 weeks, but this is probably the hardest 3 weeks that Haaland could potentially have. People are saying I've got no Salah and no Haaland. Yep, you're right. I've got no Salah and no Haaland at the moment. That's why I've got the money in the bank for it. I've got the triple Luton. I've got the triple Bournemouth. And then in the blank game week, I've got 9 players at the moment. I could take Solanke out and bring Tony in to get 10. But I'm actually quite happy to have... just 9 or 10 in the blank, because I think that's going to be fine anyway. And then in game week 30 onwards, that's the biggest time where I've got to make sure that I'm well set. So I've already got Palmer in there. I've already got Son in there. We've got nice fixtures after that. I can keep some of the Luton players, but actually it's going to be Barkley that's probably going to go up to Salah in game week 30. And then it will be Solanke going up to Haaland. And I will then be able to play 3-5-2 moving forward. To be honest, I'm quite happy with it. I think it's quite good. I'm quite happy with it. I was not well set up for 28 and 29. I didn't want to use my free hit in game week 29 because I wanted to use it later on. This is most likely... people are asking, by the way, am I free hit 29? I'm not free hit 29. So this is me going through the blank game week now. So I'm most likely going to be using the free hit in 37, and I want to try and use the bench boost in 34 because I'm looking at 34. And I think if anybody listened to Black Box with me and Mark the other day... I was saying that I think 34 actually lends itself to being a better bench boost than it does a free hit, personally. So, yeah, this is where it is at the moment. Just another goal. Talk to me, Rich. Oh, Ben White goal. Talk to me, Rich. What are you thinking about the wild card?
I get what you're doing here.
Yeah.
But something I just started thinking halfway when you were speaking, and it's not a bad thing. I was just looking at these 15 players, and if someone had showed you this was a wild card before the season had started, because even like Douglas Luiz, like obviously I get why he's a pick, you know, he's on penalties, he plays in the blank, but it's crazy. It's like so budget, isn't it? Like
it is, yeah, yeah.
I mean, even Palmer, you'd never expected like game week one that Palmer was going to become, you know, what he's become, but it's yeah, it's a, I mean, it's a wild card for the bench, isn't it? So you can navigate next week. Yeah. So it's 2-for-1 really. And obviously you've gone all in on the doubles, which to be fair, I have to respect that. I like that a lot. I think you have to do it.
Oh yeah. There was no way I wasn't going to. Like I looked a few times at, like, do I get Madison? Do I get, you know, like Richarlison, keep him? But I thought, actually, I'm just going to get Barkley. He plays in the blank. He's got a double game week, and I was just going to do it. A few people saying no Foden. Yeah, again, he's got two really tough fixtures on a blank game week. So I'm just backing that, you know, other players can do me something for them. The only big problem is I'm not going to have Foden, as in it's going to be a long time until I get Foden back.
Well, yeah, you're going to come out of, once we get out the doubles, like it gets to game week 30, obviously you're going to be targeting Haaland, you're going to be targeting Salah. And obviously we've only got a few transfers until game week 34.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've pretty much booked in all your transfers, haven't you? Like,
well, no, not really, because I'm hopefully...
Well, you want Haaland, you want Salah.
So that's two.
The goalkeeper rotation, I don't know how that works with the double. Is this to, like, I guess you're hoping Neto...
Yeah.
I mean, is Neto Areola like the best pairing as well?
Well, because Areola obviously plays in the blank, and then Neto's got this double game week, and he's hopefully going to have a double game week in 34. So,
yeah, of course.
I think that's okay. And the Bournemouth double won't be too bad either once we get the 34, if it falls the way you want it to.
I was just wondering, I mean, I've not thought about this at all. Like, well, I've thought about it, but not as much as you. I was wondering if like things like Kaminski and Anana could work, because you'd have the Kaminski for the double.
It's money.
Then you'd have him for the blank, and then Anana's likely to have a double in 34.
Yeah, it's trying to keep as much money as possible. That's the thing. Like, I've got to go quite cheap. If you look at all my players, they're pretty much budget everywhere. Apart from, because obviously I've got 15.8 in the bank, because then when I get Salah and Haaland, the biggest thing I didn't want to do was price myself out of getting Salah, Haaland and Son, because when people wildcard in 30 or 31, I guarantee they're going to try and get those three. And if I can't get to one of those three, then that's going to be my biggest threat every week. So I just wanted to make sure that I could get to all three if I wanted to.
No, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's a tricky week to wildcard, isn't it?
In
so
some
how many
ways.
Do you have in the blank? You'll have 11.
So no, I'll have 9. But obviously I've got a transfer, so I could do Solanke to Tony early if I wanted to.
Okay.
But that would use up another move.
Yeah. Are there any other options you've looked at?
In terms of...
Are you pretty set on this?
At the moment. I mean, this is usually what I do with a wildcard. So I'll play around with it on like different apps and things, but I'll keep this now until kind of Friday, play with the price changes, because I'm getting a few price changes like this as well, because obviously everybody will be investing in the Bournemouth and in Luton players. So yeah, I'm pretty set on it, but there are a few little things I want to look at, but it's more kind of, can I eke out a little bit more money to make sure that I can still afford Haaland and Salah when I get out of 30. The one thing I did ask, and I asked it on Twitter, was what do people's potential wildcards look like in 30 and 31? And to be honest, I'm not far off it. It's just a bit more Newcastle and Everton people have in their teams. So people are going for Pickford instead of Neto. People are going for Gordon, obviously. But I can still get to those players because I can get rid of Douglas Luiz. I can get rid of Areola or whatever if I want to. But then Neto hopefully doubles in 34 anyway. So, yeah, I'm fairly happy with it, to be perfectly honest. There's a lot of arguments in the community at the moment about when's the right time to do so and so. You shouldn't be using this. But to be fair... I think, you know, yes, it matters a little bit, obviously, when you use it. But as long as you're planning ahead and thinking about it, I think it'll be OK. The thing that would hurt me is if we keep getting as many injuries as we're getting, because obviously everybody will be wildcarding in 3 weeks' time and I'll have the injured team. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And it's easy to be negative about any strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I could pick holes in things, but then there's going to be, you know, there's not a perfect solution for what you can do. I mean, I guess one thing I'd say, again, not to be negative, so constructive.
Yeah.
But I imagine all three strikers you're going to end up removing. Maybe not Solanke, but I think Morris would go. Or is he just going to become like dead rubber?
He'd become your bench option, unless I downgrade him to Muniz and try and get a bit more money somewhere.
I mean, maybe you've got so much in the bank you don't need to look at selling Watkins, but then his fixtures do turn. So I just in my head, I was thinking a lot of people aren't going to have Watkins.
Yeah.
After like game week 31 onwards.
And that could hurt them. You know, that's the kind of thing where people could sell it because the fixtures change, obviously, and I have to keep him because you already used my wild card.
But that can happen. This is part of my thinking with like Haaland and Foden.
No, I know. Yeah. Well, look, I was floating about a few ideas about wild card last week, and everybody that wildcarded last week was not happy about it. And it's just how it goes. It looks like Martinelli's going off injured, by the way. So, yeah, this is one of those things where it could work, But I think based on where my team was and how it was set up for 28 and 29, I am hoping for some big gains in 28 and 29. And then I've got to make sure that after 30, I'm well set up. And that's what I'm trying to do as much as possible. And I'm just hoping that people take a lot of hits, use a free hit, you know, try and get through 28 and 29 and kind of get some red arrows somewhere. And I've obviously gone through it and I'm still well set up for 30. That's the way I've been looking at it.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing I have to remember, because obviously I might be using free hit, you're using your wild card, You're still going to have your free hit. Which is obviously a very powerful chip, but it just means our industries and strategies are going to be very, very different. Our teams are going to be very different, which is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be fun on the WhatsApp. Maybe we have to mute you, but
exactly. Hopefully the next couple of weeks, but we'll see. Right, let's have a look at some community team then. So the community team, let me just bring it up because they did message me earlier. Let's see where it was. So Matt messaged me, who's in charge of running the team. So thank you so much, Matt, again. He said, here's the common team so far this game week. They've got Dubravka in goal for 7, Ake with 2, Saliba and Gabriel, who are playing now. They've got Palmer with 5, Foden with 15, Saka, who obviously went off at halftime but did get 2 assists, Son with 7, Haaland with 12 as their captain, Watkins 13 and Solanke 2. They did have Areola on the bench and Gordon on the bench. So they had 21 points just from those two on the bench, which is obviously a little bit tough. But they've got 63 points and they're at 223k at the moment. But that should go up a little bit, you would have thought, due to the double Arsenal defence, you would have thought would make them go up a little bit further than that as well. So they're not too bad. They're doing okay. I think top 100k at some point this season would be good for them, but they're doing all right. Right, chuck us in some questions then for the last 5 minutes, and then we can leave you to watch the last 4 goals go in for Arsenal. So chuck us in some questions and we'll try and answer as many as we can in the last 5 minutes. Thank you so much for all of those that are in the chat. I think we had about 400 in her at one point, which I thought was quite good considering the football was on. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. And like I said, chuck in as many questions as you can for the last 5 minutes, because we'll try and answer as many as possible.
I am excited to see how your wild card does. And not in a horrible way.
Me too.
Yeah. But it's going to be frosty, because, I mean, if I've got Haaland and Foden still and you've got Ross Barkley.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know. The only way you can ever
Ben
really
White's
judge...
Ben White's been subbed off as well.
Yeah, I know. So clean sheet. Sorry. Right. Hugo Smith says, if I bring in Solanke for Darwin, who would you bench out of Foden, Saka, Odegaard, Son, Palmer, Haaland, Watkins? That's a lot of players.
That is a lot of players. Let's go through them all.
So Foden.
Foden's at Liverpool. I mean, I wouldn't bench Son, Palmer, Haaland, Watkins.
Yeah, wouldn't bench Saka or Odegaard. So it's Foden then, isn't it?
Who have Arsenal got again? Oh, Brentford.
At home.
Yeah, it is Foden. But it's mad. Do you know what I saw earlier? And I know this means nothing because Haaland was injured for a bit, but Foden's got more points than Haaland this season. Which
Foden's
is
their main man now.
Yeah.
Animation says Salah in this week if Klopp says he is fit.
I think there's more important things to go for right now, like with a double, isn't there? I mean, that's a good question for you with your wild card.
Yeah.
Would you, I don't know what I was going to say there, swing Salah in?
Well, it would be for Barkley. If he was declared fit...
I love that, that's a debate.
If he was declared fit, I still don't think I would, because I'm banking that game's going to be really tough. So I still don't think I would. Barkley with 3 fixtures versus Salah with 1. I've still got to back him, I think. So,
I agree. I guess it would just be the save transfer in 30.
Yeah.
But then you're going to have less players, you know, over the blank and double as well. So, yeah, I think I'm with you there. I think I would wait.
Matt Hills, first time I've watched. Cheers. No worries. I don't always get players wrong in the over and under. It was genuinely the kits that threw me off. Right. Raja says, I'm not free hitting in 29. Is Kudus a good option to replace Wang? I think he is. I've looked at him once or twice. Obviously, he's cheaper than Bowen. I think Bowen is the prime candidate you kind of go for because they've got Burnley this week as well. But I think Kudus is a nice option. What do you think?
It's just the double again. I mean, we've talked about the doublers, the midfielder doublers already, haven't we? So, yeah, if you're not keen on Barkley and you're playing through, I mean, yeah, Burnley at home, Villa at home.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Tim Pardo, how many hits is too many hits over the next 2 weeks?
Depends how many chips, if you've got any chips left, doesn't it? There's so much to that. It depends how bad your team is. There will be times when it might be in blanks and doubles, you could do, you know, minus 20, minus 24. And it actually might make sense. But I think the best thing is to not get in that position where you're considering that.
Yeah. And it's all about your chip strategy. Like, I don't think I would be taking loads of hits if I was wildcarding in 30. Like, it just doesn't, for me, make a lot of sense in terms of you're taking a lot of hits to just play in those next couple of weeks. I prefer taking hits for players I know I'm going to keep for a while.
What are you saying? Don't do hits before wildcard?
Yeah. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Rob Jones says, what is the maximum players in 29 to not play your free hit?
I mean, it depends. Is that, I hate being so vague. I mean, I feel like I'd want at least 7 or 8.
That's exactly the number I was going to say.
Even if I had the best 7 or 8 players, and obviously that can be up for debate, I'd still be very tempted. That means I think I'd want 8 to think about not doing it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be talking about like Charlie Taylor's, you know, I'd be talking about like the Tonys and stuff.
What's wrong with Charlie Taylor?
you know, with Taylor and Mitchell, you had two attacking defenders.
Yeah.
And you just cast them aside.
Taylor looked good against Bournemouth as well.
All for Alfie Doughty, basically, this wild card.
Exactly. And you love Alfie Doughty. Dim Testas says, should I sell Hee Chan for Palmer or for Kluivert so I can buy Salah for one transfer in 30? Who would you go with this week? Palmer, who has Newcastle at home and then a blank, or Kluivert, who's got a double and then a blank?
Particularly think either makes sense, but again, it depends on your team, doesn't it? I mean, I hadn't thought of people who've got Hee Chan still. I'm guessing not free hitting.
And it sounds like he needs that money to go to Salah.
I mean, that would probably be a Barkley situation.
If potentially. I mean, if he's free hitting. No, he is free hitting in 29.
Oh, he's free hitting.
I would
Palmer.
Yeah.
Palmer, because then that Palmer's like the perfect player if you're free hitting.
Who's the other one that said it before? I can't see it now. Oh, how long is Senesi out? Someone asked. Raja said, how long is Senesi out? It sounds like he had a hamstring strain. So, sorry, that's really hard to say.
Yeah, well, the way you were saying it, I don't know.
I know. So I doubt he plays both games. I doubt he plays either, but I very, very much doubt he plays both games.
The second you see hamstring, you think, he's not going to be back next week.
Yeah. Right. Thank you so much for everybody in the chat. Thank you for joining us tonight. And thank you for your questions. We've answered as many as possible. Rich, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for not being too horrible about my wild card. I hope you enjoyed your evening.
I've tried to be understanding. No, I do get it. I mean, it's the weirdest time to wild card I've ever seen. So I think you've had to work.
Not ever.
It's just the fact you're wild carding into this weird double ahead of a blank with a load of unknown fixtures. I mean, it's not easy, and it could be one for the ages. It could be one you look back on and remember very fondly, or look at this team I once wildcarded for. And you'll show people, and they'll be like, was this his first season playing?
No, like the 21st, yeah. we'll see how it goes.
It good.
Yeah, thank you. That sounded really convincing. Again, thank you so much for the people that listen, and also if you're listening on the pod after as well, apologise about our little mind blanks in the middle. Doesn't happen that often, but you know, we're real people.
It does.
You know, it does happen. Yeah, it does happen a bit. But thank you so much. And we will be seeing you again next week when hopefully Seb is on with us, and I'll be cheering on my 6 players that I'll still have left to play midweek. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.